Welcome to Chamber Chat. This is Jack Llewellyn from the Durango Chamber of Commerce, and you can go to durangobusiness.org for all the upcoming chamber events. I'm joined with Dr. Joe Murphy and Jack Turner, and you guys are, you've launched a new business, Corona Doc. So first off, Dr. Murphy, great to see you. You were my doctor for, you know, a couple years back when I was young. And Jack Turner, you don't, you're not a doctor and you don't play one on TV. So welcome.
Good to see you, Jack.
So, I will disclose we're recording this on Zoom about a week early, but so you guys started this new concept business called Corona Docs. Jack, how did this come about?
Well, first of all, it's not a business.
Oh, okay.
We volunteered and gave a proposal to San Juan Basin Health, and the genesis of it was that, you know, there's just so much information about the regulations and the requirements, and it's just a constantly moving target. And you know, my wife, who works at the Lestrade Hotel here in Durango, she says it's really hard when you're the manager of a group of employees to try to, on one hand, you need to go through the regulations, but when they have questions about the actual coronavirus itself or the vaccination program, is that, you know, most people's knowledge is what they hear on CNN or Fox or on Facebook or in the newspaper. I mean, very few people actually really get to talk to a doctor, and it's really awkward when there's so much information, whether it's duplicate or conflicting, to give a good answer. And so we thought of the idea, well, maybe we could have a volunteer program where a doctor like Joe could come to your business and just answer questions. It'd be actually make a short presentation, answer questions. And the other key ingredient of this, Jack, is that this is 100% confidential. Even though we're sanctioned by San Juan Basin Health, is that we don't tell them what businesses we visit, who's there. We're not there to judge about whether you're complying with regulations. It's just simply so that if you or your employees, or, you know, it could be a church or a school, if you have questions you wish you could ask a doctor, we've got the professionals there that do a non-judgmental answer, and what you do with the information is your business.
You know, I'm so glad to hear that, because I know a lot of people will say, first off, where do you go for answers? But then secondly, I'm afraid if I ask the question, I'm going to end up on a list somewhere. So let me ask you that, when you formed this, how did you know Dr. Murphy? I mean, from, he was your doctor before and you guys had a relationship?
He was my neighbor since we were like in fourth grade. We both grew up in Durango. And I can, you know, he was a year ahead of me in school. We won't tell you the decade we graduated in, but he was a year ahead of me in school. But anybody that knows Dr. Murphy in town, he was just as good a soul when he was a kid as he is now. And so it was natural for me just to call him first and say, hey, Joe, what do you think about this idea? And we made the proposal to San Juan Basin Health and then collaborated with them.
Wow. And so, Joe, you didn't have enough to do in retirement.
Well, that actually is part of it, Jack, or not a lot to do during the pandemic. But most important, when Jack came to me, I mean, the whole idea was Jack. I mean, the genesis, the organization, he put the whole thing together. But when he came to me and recruited me, I just thought that this is a great deal. You know, one, it really gets me back to interacting with folks, not quite like the usual patient-doctor relationship, but close. And secondly, you know, like everybody, I've seen tons of good information and tons of misinformation out there. And it's given me an opportunity to look even a little more in depth into things that I had already been reading quite a bit about just because of medical interest. But now it's given me the opportunity to really find out, you know, what are the best facts out there? And then how do you get those facts out to people?
So a couple of questions. One is, how do people sign up to have Corona Docs come to their location? And then also a follow-up would be, what can people expect? Walk me through what happens once you arrive. So how do people sign up?
You can email me, and the address for this is jturner@durangonative.com. That's just my first letter, J as in Jack Turner, @durangonative.com. And I will email you a PDF as all the information. Part of it that we have as the sign-up process is a little mini letter of agreement that you sign. Now, the letter of agreement is basically to assure people that Joe and I are not there to share your information with anybody else. It's to guarantee that whatever happens at your business during the Corona Doc presentation stays there. We're not there to judge. We're just there to provide information that may be useful to you. And that then there's a few other minor details like scheduling. But the whole thing, though, Jack, is literally a half an hour at most. And Joe does about a 15-minute presentation. We allow another 15 for questions. You can run over if you want. But we realize that people are busy. And we try to make this so it's not painful or some huge effort.
Sure. Now I want to ask, all right, so Dr. Murphy, because there's so much misinformation, what are some of the things that you would like to let people know, some of the, the facts about COVID and the virus now that we're a year into this?
Well, this has actually evolved quite a bit since we started doing this. When we initially started this, there were still, I think, a sizable population of true deniers who felt this was really nothing significant. It's a hoax. It's not as bad as the flu. With what's happened in the country the last couple of months, I think there's a lot less true deniers. I mean, it's obviously an enormous problem, enormous amount of mortality. So anyway, that was part of it, was just trying to get through to folks that denied the seriousness of the illness. The other issues, the other big issue, obviously, and still it's baffling how this became so politicized, is masks. There was initially in March, when they first started really addressing this, everybody will recall, they said, don't wear masks. There were some reasons behind that. One, they just didn't have good proof that masks affected transmission just because it was a new disease. And secondly, they were a little worried about having adequate masks for caregivers. So a lot of people heard that in March, and then a lot of people didn't pay attention on April 3rd when everybody, CDC, NIH, all came out and said masks help prevent transmission. So there was that mixed message early on that a lot of people latched onto. So in a couple of our sessions, I had to really emphasize several things. One, there is good evidence for use of masks. Two, there's no significant side effects of using masks. So that was another misconception. Finally, when we first started doing this, the vaccines had not yet been rolled out. They were in phase 3 trials. They were close. And so there were a lot of questions about what's going to happen with vaccines. And I think over the next month or two, there's also going to be more and more things coming out of vaccines. Specifically, we know they help prevent illness in the people that get the vaccines. They're still looking for enough proof that they actually prevent transmission. So there's going to be a lot coming out of vaccines in the next few months.
Well, and one thing about this whole pandemic and the virus is everything is so fluid. I mean, and it's one of those things where everything, you start down, like you say, one path, and all of a sudden new information comes out. Now with the vaccines, I mean, it's amazing how quick they got that, the vaccines, developed and tested and through. And so what's your recommendation if somebody has an opportunity to get a vaccine? Would you recommend they get it?
Absolutely. This is an enormous success. I mean, it truly, if you could throw out the tragedy of the illness, this is like one of the successes of science in the last couple centuries. I mean, to get a vaccine out this rapidly that is that effective, 95%, it's just unheard of. And the safety record is looking tremendous. I mean, less side effects than we've seen with other vaccines, which also had very low side effects. So it's truly an amazing success story. And, hopefully that's just going to keep panning out better and better.
All right. Absolutely. Well, I know I always joke and say I want the 3.0 version, but and Jack, you had a comment.
Yeah. Joe's just sort of gone, from the 10,000 foot level of big picture. But one of the things we've learned in our first meetings is that, people will have questions like, well, if I get the vaccine, do I still have to wear my mask? Or if I wear a mask, can I make myself sicker? There's all these questions that are totally valid. And, let's say you're the manager of Durango Motor Company and you're trying to express to your employees, all the rule part of it. But then you get into the effect of all this stuff is that if they ask you a question, the answer typically is, I don't really know. And even if you've heard the right answer on CNN or Fox, is that if you answer the question for your employee and their mind is like, well, how do I know that you know what's going on? You're not a doctor. So this is very non-judgmental. It's just to present the information from a medical professional. You can take it or leave it however you want. We're not there with a recording device or, like I said, we don't even report. We report the number of businesses or organizations we talk to Sam on Base Health, but we don't tell them even which ones. And it's just to allay people that we're not there to be the enforcement police.
Yeah. So, so along with what, wearing a mask, social distancing, washing our hands, all of those things, are there other things that people can do to help prevent getting coronavirus?
You've pretty much hit it. Those are plus vaccine. The vaccine has now become number one. Prior to the release of vaccines, there were just those three things. I mean, the way you avoid a virus, or the way you don't get a virus, is avoid it. Don't be near it. But for a lot of people, that's not practical. So that's when you have to come into social distancing, and then most importantly, wearing masks. Really, those are the only three things you can do. And we've learned this over the last 100 years, dealing with things like influenza, croup, diphtheria, other things that have been transmitted airborne. So we already had a lot of knowledge about airborne transmission, but now you just have this new virus, which is more contagious than most and hadn't been really seen before, except in bat populations and some other animals.
Now, if somebody has, I wake up and I have the sniffles in the morning, and allergies, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what are some symptoms? I've heard losing your taste and smell seems to be one of the ones that are kind of a identifier. What other things should people be aware of in case they suspect they might have the virus?
Well, yeah, I'll go into those symptoms, but that does bring up the most important issue, which is that 20% of people have no symptoms.
Yeah.
And that's, again, the whole reason for social distancing and masks for people that are asymptomatic. If everybody doesn't follow those precautions, that 20% of people is just going to be out spreading it around. So that's a big one. But as far as symptoms, one of the most common are cold symptoms, runny nose, sore throat, cough, fever, another big one. And in fact, fever would be the one where you'd say, I have to get tested no matter what. And then there's loss of smell. Fatigue tends to be an enormous one, although that's maybe a little further down the line. I guess now that testing, especially here in our county, testing is so available, free testing that's being done, I would say if you have even just a hint that you might have it, you get a runny nose, you get a sore throat, because testing's so available and because it's so important to know, I'd say get tested.
Yeah. And I think that, I've actually gotten tested a couple times about a month apart, and I'm probably will go get another one. Just, it's one of those things. I'm back in my office. Every time I walk out of my office, I put my mask on, I keep the door shut, kind of isolated, but definitely making sure that we all follow the protocols. I always tell people I'm wearing a mask to protect you. You wear the mask to protect me. And I think it's that's seems to be the most common ground that we all need to follow. We're about out of time already. So if you want to schedule, you email Jack, and it's jturner@durangonative.com. So J Turner, common spelling, the letter J, Turner at durangonative.com. Schedule a time, and it's all confidential. And I appreciate both of you taking the time to join me on the show, but more importantly, taking the time to do this for the community where people can get their answers and there's no charge with it.
Hey, thank you, Jack. And if I have a second to squeeze in one more thing, is that Matt Taylor, he was with WorldPay and developed a mobile app called Aid to All, which local residents can apply for grants, even like to pay for your cell phone if you're out of work or something like that. We are able to show whoever participates in these meetings how to